TIC Productions presents India's premier Bollywood podcast. You're listening to Bollywood Weekly.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Monthly, which I think I now have to call this show based on our recent track record. I'm going to stop trying to promise that we'll be back with regular programming because clearly it's not happening. But I'm very happy that I have with me Satyen Rao.
I'm so happy to be back.
Back after a very long time.
Yes, indeed.
And in that time, Satyen happened to go and get married. So congratulations.
Thank you. For
that. Normally we would question your priorities a little bit, you know, marriage, doing the podcast, etc. But sadly, I'm not in a position to have that argument myself. So anyway, today's conversation is about Padman.
That's right.
Which we just watched.
This is my first movie as a married man. So I'll remember it for the rest of my life. But
Without his wife.
I'll remember it for a lot of other reasons as well, because I thought it was a very, very good movie. It's got its heart in the right place, well written, and I thought the acting was on point too.
Yeah, I think overall it was really good. There are moments where, like all recent Akshay Kumar movies, where it's very clear he's taking a stand for a reason, parts of it feel a little kind of preachy and propaganda-ish. But at least it's kind of, unlike Toilet Ek Prem Katha, which was propaganda to a level of, you know, this government is amazing, this was more actually educating people about things that need to be addressed and solved. So that was really good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, preachy on one hand, I think it was necessary to instill the message for the audiences and the masses, because that's the point of doing that. And if you're dramatizing it a bit and exaggerating it a slight amount, I think it's still fine, because it works with the way Akshay Kumar delivers some of those lines as well.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. I think performances-wise, Akshay Kumar was his usual self. You kind of know what you're going to get, and it's usually pretty good. His speech at the end when he's at the UN, I thought was really amazing.
Very, very good. That I've written down that as a point as well. It was one of my favorite speeches in any Hindi movie, one of the top five, I would say, because of the way, not only how it was written, but also how sincerely he delivers it. And you really feel it when he speaks those words. It feels like he's a real human being. Talking about something he's really passionate about and not a film sort of scripted speech.
Yeah, and I mean, the part of that is in the trailer towards the end. And in the trailer, it feels like very contrived. It's like, oh, is this just another, you know, he's talking broken English. It's very clearly meant to kind of elicit laughs or whatever. But in the movie, the way it plays out is so nice. So he starts actually delivering the speech in Hindi. Mm. And then he says a sentence, and in the middle of a sentence, the interpreter starts talking. And he just gets thrown off completely. He's like, okay, no, you sit down. Like, it's fine. I'd rather just talk instead of, this is very confusing for me.
And I like how he eggs on the audience to laugh as well. He keeps saying, laugh, laugh. You laugh. It's okay. You laugh.
Yeah. That was a very nice touch. I think it felt very genuine.
Correct.
As did most of the movie. Mm.
And even for those who, I mean, normally hate Akshay Kumar or don't like watching Akshay Kumar, I still believe that you watch one of these films of his, another one was Special Chubbies, and even this one where he really plays a very decent average guy who you wouldn't think of as like an action hero or someone who's
correct,
you know, acting in a crazy Bollywood movie, but just a regular guy. He actually comes across as a very, very honest actor, and you'd sort of like him a lot. Yeah. So I'd suggest people who don't like Akshay Kumar, give it a shot and watch this as well, because you might change your mind about him.
Yeah. And the one thing that I liked is, despite the fact that you know, you have a star like Akshay Kumar in this movie, a lot of other movies like Jolly LLB or even Toilet kind of fall victim to the fact that, okay, we have Akshay Kumar, we have to propel him and put him in a position where he is a superstar. So you'll have montages of him flexing his muscles or jumping around or like beating people up or doing something or the other.
Yeah.
Here, this didn't have anything, even though like the scale of what he achieves is pretty amazing. The way he's portrayed is just through sheer force of will. It's not like he did something, like, it's not like he sat and he locked himself away, or there's no big crazy montage with like triumphant music and stuff. It's just like, okay, I want to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a way to do this. And
I think what was key was there were so many shots of failure that when they even portray the transformation or that success montage, you don't really feel it as one big epic crescendo that's in the middle of the movie and you know everything's going to change after that. It happens over time, over multiple failures.
Correct. It's very organic, which is nice.
Mm.
I think Radhika Apte was also amazing.
Amazing, amazing.
I wish they gave her more to do, especially in the second half.
Yeah.
Because in the second half, she's just kind of reduced to...
And who did we have in the second half?
Yeah, I was coming to that. Sonam Kapoor comes in. The only part of the movie which probably didn't sit easy with me. One is her performance. I think let's address that first. Her performance, I think, was okay.
Mm.
It wasn't terrible. Mm. There are some classic Sonam moments. Like, wow, what an insight. Which I was my personal favorite.
Came out of nowhere, but I think the lines are written to suit her, also her character in this.
Yeah.
But having said that, she's introduced to us as a tabla player. So, and she's pursuing her MBA. So it's a bit of a, I don't know, a contrast to me, which didn't really gel in my head either.
I mean, I think that was just a random thing to show that she's this really talented city girl who has everything put together and she kind of...
Yeah, but there's no mention of her music after that whatsoever either. So...
Yeah, true.
That felt a bit weird.
The biggest part that feels weird is, and you know, like we mentioned before, the movie does a very good job of staying away from all of the typical Bollywood cliches and contrivances that would potentially ruin the story.
Except
they had to, you know... show like the inkling of a love story romantic side angle with Akshay Kumar and Sonam.
Totally unnecessary
also, just, you know, until then you actually like Sonam's character
and
you think, okay, she's actually, you know, despite coming from this privileged background, she's seen this person, decided to help him out and you know, taken a stand and done all of this.
Because she even gives up her really good interview, her job with a big firm, and then goes on to help Akshay Kumar in the villages.
And then spoiler alert for anyone listening, you have this one shot just before his speech where she kisses him. And then again after the speech where she's like,
about to kiss him
and of course conveniently his wife calls at that time.
And even the kiss was for what reason? Because Akshay Kumar says he's feeling very nervous addressing the UN. And he wants her to go on stage with him. And instead, she says, okay, I can't come with you on stage, but I will kiss you. And therefore, I will be with you. So even that felt a bit, oh, why did you have to do that? Because all along, Radhika Apte is waiting for Akshay Kumar in the village back home while he's in New York.
And it's also weird because then for like 2 minutes, Akshay Kumar goes through this whole, 2 minutes of the movie. In reality, the journey of his flight back. One evening and his flight back from New York to Bombay. Where he's kind of, oh, what should I do now? I'm so confused. And she was like, dude, what are you confused about? I just kissed you. I get it. Like,
and until then, you don't realize or you sort of feel good that she's not bringing up her privileged background, her privileged life and how much money she has compared to him, their different upbringing. But just in case you'd forgotten that, she makes it very clear in the 1 minute.
This is why we can't be together.
I 1 minute monologue delivered to him on the flight.
And the sad, like, I think it would have still been okay if they showed just like Sonam as being this kind of, you know, girl who gets carried away. But then I don't like the fact that they showed Akshay also. Because, you know, when when he's walking away, when he says bye to her to go back to his village, to his wife, lest we forget, he gives this whole, like, there's this whole dramatic send off. Which is as though it seemed like it came out of an Imtiaz Ali movie. Like, Ye Duriya all of a sudden.
While he's counting numbers and walking away.
Yeah.
But that felt a bit... I felt a bit hurt for Radhika Apte, his wife, walking back home. Because she's completely faithful. And they had no issues with the marriage whatsoever. And we didn't expect him to fall in love with somebody else.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he had some feelings for Sonam Kapoor, which was... It just didn't go with the whole mood of the film or his character.
Yeah. What I think they did a really good job of was kind of showing the whole stigma that talking about pads and sanitary napkins has in like rural parts of India. And how, you know, where right from the beginning, people are just not able to comprehend why Akshay Kumar wants to do this. And even his own wife is not able to see the fact that he's trying to do something good and trying to do something beneficial. But it's just kind of, you know, there's this whole... Sharam is a very big part of the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
Where this notion of shame and honor and, you know, having to stick by societies, what society deems is acceptable and not, and how that creates so many problems, especially for women in India.
Mm, that's portrayed very beautifully. And you'd often think that it's because of introducing conflicts in a movie storyline, and that's the only purpose of character saying, oh no, I don't like what you're doing, throwing him into difficult situations. But we felt that this is an honest representation of what actually happens in reality, and how people are just unable to grasp the concept of this path, the requirement, the need, and the face, their faces when they feel ashamed of something like this, even talking about it and seeing it. And it happens over multiple situations, multiple times, and multiple characters, female characters. So that show sort of brings you into this world of, oh my God, like, this is never going to work. And this is the struggle that the character has to put up with, and what faces rural India.
Yeah. And it's also, it's something that's reinforced a lot, right? Because what I liked also was, eventually, again, spoilers for anyone listening, when his kind of initial attempts fail, and it kind of escalates and escalates until the whole village is kind of just ready to believe anything. They're like, oh, he's either gone crazy, or he's trying to do some black magic, or all of that, right? Which I thought was done very nicely. Then he leaves the village and goes somewhere else, and he tries to figure out other ways to do this, until eventually he figures out a way to build this machine, and then he with Sonam Kapoor's help, he gets an award at IIT, and he gets his photo taken with Amitabh Bachchan. So then that suddenly creates a lot of everyone is really proud of him, and etc. And there's a really nice moment where the place he's currently living at now, not his original village, they all come and they serenade him, and because they've got his photo taken, and then he says, okay, now show us your invention, show us this amazing thing. And then he shows it to them, and he again gets the same reaction from them as well, where the lady kind of just drops the thali and runs away.
Yeah.
And all, like, 2 minutes ago, everyone was like, "Arey, you made our, you know, apne hamara naam roshan kiya, gaon ka naam roshan kiya. We won't take money from you, like people you borrowed money from." And now they're just like, this is not innovation.
Paise wapas de.
Huh. So
that was really nice, because all along they were really looking forward to seeing the machine, but not knowing what it does. Correct. And once he shows the final product, which is a pad, then they lose their shit again.
Correct. And it helps highlight the depth and severity of the problem, right? Because, and he says this dialogue also once, like, if the people that he's making this for are the ones who are ashamed of it or shunning it, what hope do I have?
Yeah. And throughout the film, I think there was one question that I kept having was, how is this again being told through the lens of a man? And it's a woman's problem, a lot of mansplaining going on. But I guess in the second half, when Sonam Kapoor is helping him, there's one scene where he's completely unsuccessful at getting the villagers to trust him, the women in the villages to trust him. But when Sonam goes out with the pads, she comes back with the news that everyone has bought into the idea and even paid money for it. And she tells him that, you know, you fool, it's because I'm a woman, and only a woman can talk to women about women things, which was very well said. And it wasn't like in a preachy way or a dramatic way. It was very matter of fact and how it is and how it should be.
Correct. So, yeah, all of that was good. Yeah. Only a couple of random song sequences in the middle of the movie. But in general, movie was pretty fast-paced, and it didn't waste a lot of time, apart from the slight love story thing was, you know, narrative-wise a bit off, but it actually didn't
affect
the pacing of the movie that much. Like, things kept happening.
It only affected the end, but not the significant.
Slightly.
Yeah. I liked a couple of other funny touches. One was the mechanical god idols in the villages. Nice. So they show Akshay Kumar's pragmatism, and he's an engineer, so he recognizes how things work better than his wife, and they go to offer...
an engineering by profession, not by education.
Yes, important. Just to clarify.
He's a eighth standard pass. Yeah.
So they go to give their offerings to this god. I think it's Hanuman first.
Yeah.
And it's a mechanical Hanuman where the jaw opens and you place a coconut into it. The jaw shuts, and then on the thali next to Hanuman, you get pieces of coconut that comes out. Yeah. So people think it's a sign of strength, and the Hanuman blesses you with strength because the coconut is broken up into pieces. And the other one is the Krishna idol, which
you put something, you put the money on it goes back inside the mandir and then comes out with two laddus.
So that was really funny because it shows you the, I don't know what to call it. What is it?
The one thing I got from it was, people are just willing to put their faith in, you know, based on tradition and based on stuff, right? Even in the first Hanuman scene, he makes this point where his wife wants to put 51 rupees as prasad to get protection from Hanuman and get these coconuts, but is not willing to pay 55 rupees for a pad, which will actually give her protection.
Yeah. And the moment he says that, she immediately shuns him and she's like, correct, get away, stop talking.
Yeah. And he also says, like, you know, like, ye machine to main bhi bana sakta hun. Like, so there's a nice bit of, like, preempting there.
Correct.
At the Hanuman part as well.
Yeah.
But I think, a lot of, like, nice touches and little moments there, which, you know, emphasize all of the various dysfunctional things that happen in our country.
Correct. What else? I thought the one point I brought up to Pish as well was the cinematography. I thought the locations were really good.
Yeah.
The riverside, the sunrise shots. I thought that it was picturized very, very nicely. Even if it was set in rural India, it wasn't a Rohit Shetty rural India. It was very...
and it also wasn't like Anurag Kashyap rural India.
Yeah. It was beautiful, actually.
It's quite picturesque.
Very picturesque. So that was another plus point for the film.
Yeah, overall, I think it's definitely a good film. It's worth watching. I'm on vacation this week, which is why I have time to do this podcast. So I haven't actually checked what the box office figures and stuff are, but this is actually a... You know, even more so than Toilet, I think this is a really good film that everyone can actually watch and enjoy. Because I think, unlike Toilet, like, this is the taboos around menstruation and female hygiene exist even in cities in India. And even in amongst, like, across income groups and classes. The accessibility is more of a problem for rural parts of India.
And there was a couple of facts and statistics which was also nice to hear. We haven't fact-checked this, by the way, so you can please do that if you have the time after this. But one of the facts was that apparently pads were first invented for men, is what the doctor in the film says anyway, to stop the bleeding from people injured in the war, in the World War One, if I'm not wrong, in France. And
Before World War One.
Okay. And the number two was how few women in India actually use pads, which is about 12%, if I'm not wrong.
It was 12% at the beginning of the movie. It was 18% by the end.
So he made a 6% dent in the...
Yeah. It's also the movies are on a, like, 2-3 year time frame, I guess.
Yeah, so, fair enough.
Yeah.
And it was nice seeing Amitabh Bachchan.
Yeah, Amitabh Bachchan has a small cameo. They had to give him enough dialogue to justify...
Oh, my favorite dialogue of his was when he says, Devyo or Sajjano. I was half expecting him to break out into a glass of all.
Yeah. He had that dialogue, which was nice, about India being 1 billion minds and not 1 billion people.
Yeah.
Which he then repeated 3 times, which kind of killed the effect a little bit. It was, like, really impactful the first time. Then he says it in English. So, like, just in case you didn't get the point.
That was a nice line, though. It makes you feel really good about your country and about the people of your country, and makes you feel hopeful.
Yeah.
And also another point about the inventiveness, the...
Innovation,
where he says... the real innovators are those who do good for the
society.
For society.
Bring change to society, basically. Yeah. Which is also a philosophy Akshay Kumar himself embodies, right? Once he wins this grant from this IIT event, Sonam Kapoor is all about, oh, we'll get your patent written up. Then there'll be like a bidding war between all these companies. Mm. They'll scale this up. You'll get like millions and millions of rupees. And he's like, what is a patent? And she's like, oh, it's a stamp so that no one else can copy yours. And he's like, nahi, copy karne do. Like, I want everyone to copy it, right? Like, I want more people to have access to pads. Which is what he does. He goes and like builds multiple of these machines and actually gives them to different villages and different women so that they can start creating these pads themselves for their own use and also to distribute throughout the village, and also kind of helps create jobs that way and help them be self-sufficient. So.
And he says it actually gives women 2 months more in a year, because otherwise they are not doing anything for 60 days in the year.
Correct.
5 days every month, which is also a nice way to put it right at the end in the speech, which made an impact also.
Yeah.
And another thing I just realized, which we've got to mention, was I think his motivation was very important in believing in his why he was doing it. Around the interval mark, a spoiler alert again, which is when his wife has left him, his whole village is against him, and he's basically left the village. He says that all he wants to do is turn his wife's shame into respect.
Yeah.
And that's what he's after. So that feels really honest and genuine, because he does not understand they have to feel this way or think this way. But all he wants to do now is make sure that he cares for his wife a lot, but he wants to make sure that shame which she feels and the shame which the family feels is converted into respect. which is a very nice motivation for a character to have as you follow his story.
Yeah, agreed. One other thing I remembered, a lot of people had issue with the fact that the character of Akshay Kumar, Lakshmikant, whatever his name is, but is based on a real-life story of Arunachalam Murugaratnam, I think.
Not bad. Well
that's,
done.
I think that's what
I think. The Murugaratnam is wrong, but Arunachalam is correct.
Okay. But basically, there was a write-up, I think, in the Deccan Chronicle about how a lot of these stories, which are about South Indian people or based in South India, Bollywood kind of takes them and kind of north washes them. I don't know the right term for it. But the other example was Airlift, right? Where the two guys in the Gulf who actually helped facilitate that rescue get turned into one Akshay Kumar whose name is Rajiv Katyal. So, you know, the point being, like, even if your movie is in Bollywood catered to the masses, why can't your character still be South Indian or still be based in that part of the world? Because you're telling a real person's story and not you know, fictional narrative of sorts. I don't know where I stand on that. What do you think?
I mean, this problem exists in Hollywood also, which in a bigger way. But I guess in India, I support the vision of One India. And if Bollywood has more of a significant reach and impact with the kind of big budget releases, I don't think there's a harm in representing a story that happens in South India with a Bollywood actor, as long as it's not sort of mashed up and the essence of the story is lost. Yeah. If it's a real sort of honest representation of it, I think it should be fine, because Tamil, Kannada, Telugu, we can all make it. I'm a Kannadiga, and I don't know why a Kannada producer doesn't pick up a story like this, and they can very well do it. But does it get the same reach, attention, and budget that a Bollywood film would? Maybe not. And an issue like this deserves recognition like a Batman would get.
No, but I think the issue is more of, like, even if you're making it in Hindi with Akshay Kumar, why does his name have to be Rajiv Katyal or Lakshmikant as opposed to S. Balasubramanian? Or, and why does it have to be in Madhya Pradesh and not in Tamil Nadu?
To be very blunt, because it's the language, I think, language barrier. If you're setting it in Tamil Nadu and you have a character that's speaking Hindi, fluent Hindi, let's say option one, that's not believable at all. And if you have someone speaking broken Hindi, which is slightly more believable, but is it watchable? Is it still believable? Maybe not, because a character like that might not even know Hindi. So I think language is the basic concern to start with. And above and beyond that, I wouldn't like to see it being made into a mockery. Because if you set everything in Tamil Nadu, but you're releasing it as a Bollywood film, I don't know how it would work.
How honest the depiction would be. Fair enough. I think it's a pretty balanced viewpoint there.
I'm a South Indian, so and I know how many of my own friends can't speak Hindi very well. And if you set it in rural South India, I don't think there's any hope of getting at least 10 people in that village also to be speaking fluent Hindi. So how would you take that and make it into a film where people are speaking one language and not another? Dubbing is the solution, but that again takes away from the film, I think.
I think the solution is for all content to be made by Netflix multilingual, like Narcos, with subtitles.
Or shoot every scene with 10 different actors. It's cool. A good business idea.
Yeah, why not? Anything else on Padman?
Padman. Just the title and how I was wondering how you pronounce it. Padman or Padman?
Yeah, it created a lot of confusion in South India for sure. Because my mom actually thought the movie was called Padman, and it was just a guy's name.
And what would happen if there was any controversy or like protests against the film and its topics? Would you remove the N and call it Padma?
That would create a whole different set of controversies there. But anyway, on that note, we'll take a quick break and then come back to catch up on all the stuff in the last 1 month that we've missed out on. Welcome back to part two of this podcast. And let's start by talking about the other big period film that was in the news a lot and created a lot of controversy. Padmavat.
Which one is that? I was waiting for Padmavati, but...
Yeah, it was... I think basically if it went through one more round of changes at the censor board, the title would have just been Padman and Akshay Kumar. It would have been like, change title to Padman, remove Ranveer Singh, put Akshay Kumar. Approved. CBFC approved. You haven't seen this movie, right?
I haven't, but I have a good story to tell about one of our friends who saw it and had no clue the name had been changed to Padmavat. Okay. And he didn't believe us when we told him it was changed to Padmavat. He was like, what nonsense. And he had no clue about any of the controversy around it, which is phenomenal. Like, that's a great effort.
For anyone who's still listening and cares, I thought it was a terrible movie. Like, the worst movie. Like, I mean, maybe, okay, not the worst movie I've seen, but relative to the hype and relative to what was expected, especially after Bajirao Mastani, this was just terrible. Mm. I think, like, all the people who took offense in the first place had no reason to be offended. Pretty much everyone else in the world had reason to be offended. Like, because it's just, I don't know, it's a bizarre movie, to be honest. There's very little story.
Is this after the scenes have been deleted or?
I don't think so, honestly, because the main point of it is just the crux of the story itself. Because I think it's something that women should be offended by, because you have Deepika Padukone as your lead, who you're trying to portray as this fearless woman who, you know, stands up for herself. Mm. Yet in the movie, she's depicted as someone who just accidentally injures Shahid Kapoor and then just looks at him and falls for him and then devotes her entire life to just serving him and being in his existence. Mm. And in the end, like, the, you know, again, this is not really a spoiler, everyone knows this by now, but the last scene is her basically committing sati or johar before she's caught, and she goes and asks him for permission, and she's like, I can't even die without your permission.
Jesus.
And it's like, and his justification is, oh, but like, this is a depiction of the time. Like, at that time, whatever, 15th century or whenever it was, that's how things were. I'm like, but this movie is releasing in 2017. You can't, you can't show that message in a way that's glorifying it or that's making it seem legitimate, because that kind of stuff still happens in a lot of parts of India.
Yes.
So I think women should have been offended right then and there. And throughout the movie, women are just shown as things for men to fight about. Like, the whole conflict between them, between Alauddin Khilji and whatever Shahid Kapoor Mewar, whatever his name is, is Padmavati. Her name in the movie is still
Padmavati.
Her name in the movie is still Padmavati. The character is still Padmavati. But, and for no real reason apart from Ranveer Singh is like, yeah, I want her. Like, that's all.
Hang on, but I mean, let me jump in here and ask you, if he's only representing past events, is it fair for us to say, oh, it shouldn't have been shown like that? Then it's skewing facts or skewing representation of what it was like back then.
Yeah, I don't think it's a representation of what it was like back then either, because I mean, there is a lot of more qualified people than me who have delved through history and stuff. And like, Alauddin Khilji was not a chest rippling Ranveer Singh lookalike who went about mauling people and men and women. And my biggest problem with the thing is there were no shades of grey in this movie. So, like, Ranveer Singh is is the antagonist in the film. And he is basically just shown as a person with, like, loose character and loose morals.
Mm.
He is, like, just, you know, all the stereotypical depictions of evil are him. Mm. He's, like, having sex with another girl on the night of his wedding. He doesn't care about his wife. He mistreats her. He goes and chases after Padmavati, which is all shown as signs of his being immoral. He eats meat, which again in the movie is seen as like,
I'm super immoral. Yeah.
He, you know, as a coincidence happens to be Muslim, but okay. There's even this weird, like, homoerotic side vibe going on with this person who's brought to him as his, like, servant, right hand man.
Why are you looking into my eyes as you say that?
Jim Sarb playing that role. Satyen, with us, we don't have to be, there's nothing subtle about it. We're open about it. Yeah. Why do you think our wives / fiancés aren't here? Anyway. But yeah, like, so again, when Ranveer Singh does it, he's shown as this person with loose morals who doesn't care about anything. But on the other hand, Shahid Kapoor goes out initially in the movie to find, like, a diamond for his wife, and then he goes and meets Padmavati and brings her back as a second wife. But he does it, oh, but he's Rajput, he's noble, he's kind. His love is pure and true, right?
Of course.
Ranveer Singh is just a sex-crazed lunatic who's has loose morals. So that, like, that was, again, very weird for me. And the biggest part, just from leaving all of that aside, there's very little, like, plot or narrative. It's just like, oh, he's going to attack us. Oh, no, we're going to fight back. Okay, no, let's attack. No, let's not. Like, then that's all. Like, if I compare it to, even Bajirao Mastani had a more substantial plot than that. Bahubali, one of the things I really liked about, which I talked about when we covered that, is they spent a lot of time actually going through, like, the strategy of the battle and how do these two counterparts actually try to one up the other. Over here, it's just like, you know, testosterone and
brute force.
Well,
one of my Czech friends saw a Bollywood movie for the first time. Yes, Padmavat was it, and he loved it.
The one thing I will say about Padmavat is that it looks fantastic.
That's precisely what he said as well.
It looks really impressive, all the costumes and all of that.
But that's Sanjay Leela.
That's Sanjay Leela Bhansali.
Yeah.
The music also didn't live up to any of Sanjay Leela's previous films, so that was a big letdown as well. So yeah, overall, I was quite upset with this movie.
So once people forget about the movie, we can all say Padmavati.
Oh my god. Okay, and moving on swiftly. Tiger Zinda Hai. Just like this podcast, just about. Hanging there. Apart from the fact that the title itself is a spoiler. Add a question mark. Yeah. You know?
Just in case you missed the end, you know. Or the beginning for that matter.
Yeah. Tiger Zinda Hai was basically a Salman Khan movie. Like,
I've missed this as well.
Yeah.
While I was getting married, I missed many films.
Yeah. Now, I mean, yeah, it was like, if you're a Salman Khan fan, you'll enjoy it. Some parts of it were kind of done nicely and well. Some parts of it are very convenient. There are a lot of random smaller details I don't remember anymore. But one thing that is really hilarious is just how time passes by in this movie. So basically, these nurses are, there is a group of nurses who are caught in the Middle East, in basically what is meant to be like an ISIS equivalent. They've occupied this hospital as a stronghold. And this part is actually based on a true story. And so the US wants to just like nuke the place and just launch airstrikes. And India is like, no, we have to get our nurses out of there, get our citizens out of there. So the first step is they have to negotiate with the US. The US is like, we're going to launch airstrikes like now. And
that's like Trump.
And then the Indian raw chief is like, okay, no, we'll put a stop to this. He goes, apparently, in the context of this movie, he goes to the US, to the CIA headquarters or whatever, talks to that guy, being like, please let us do this. The guy's like, no, we're doing this. Like, no, what would he do if they were American citizens? And he's like, okay, fine. You have 7 days starting now. And I'm like, dude, you could have done this over call. Like, it's like a 30-second discussion.
No, and then, no, this is what they teach you in corporate jobs.
Face-to-face.
Yes, face-to-face. A phone call does not work. Yeah.
But literally, this guy goes there. Then he comes back. And he's like, okay, we have 7 days to launch an operation.
So he's lost 2 days in traveling.
So time stands still. It's like, literally, he's in a room with the embassy, like with the high commission. He goes to the US, negotiates this deal in 30 seconds, comes back, like, okay, we have seven days.
Cool.
Okay, and what do we do now?
You know, even this part of the plot is copied from another iconic film, right? 7 days from The Ring.
Of course. No, but then it's like, okay, we have 7 days. What do we do now? Let's put a plan together in place. Let's start a team. It's like, no, we need Tiger. Where's Tiger? In Switzerland. So let's go to Switzerland.
Wow.
Find Tiger, convince him. They spent 2 days out of the 7 days convincing Tiger to do this. And then Tiger is like, okay, shit, we have only 5 days. Now let's do this. And again, it's just like, why? What is this? How is this being done? There's also...
This is the real life story of what happens when we are coming up with presentations.
Yeah. Also, this very strange thing of the original Ekta Tiger was released in 2012, set in 2012. This movie was released in 2017. But the movie itself is set in 2020.
Why?
Just because, like, art.
What does
because 8 saal ke baad sounds cooler than 5 saal ke baad. Literally, that's the only reason.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Fun fact, do you know how many tigers there are actually left in the world? 3,890.
Including Salman Khan? Like,
3,891. I stand corrected. Yeah. Because Tiger Zinda hai.
There is also a very interesting scene initially in the early part of the movie, which shows Salman Khan fighting a wolf with his bare hands.
Which movie is this from again? The Revenant? Was it?
I was thinking more along the lines of... in a forest. No, never mind. That was a. He had a gun for that one. But that wasn't with his bare hands.
Not bare. He doesn't like to get his hands dirty everywhere.
Yeah.
Or does he?
So, yeah, that was a slightly interesting, surreal feeling. It's like, oh, Salman Khan is in a jungle fighting a wild animal and killing it on screen. And he's okay with that. Like, just, you know, putting that out there. But, yeah. Katrina Kaif is there.
Is there. Okay. Yeah, that's...
Katrina Kaif is actually, to be fair to her, does a pretty good job in whatever part she's given. She's just not given much to do. So,
it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. Anyway. apart from that, a whole bunch of trailers have come out, too many to keep track of. Mm.
We missed the trailers today, by the way. We went late for the movie.
Yeah, we were late for the movie. We also stepped out during the interval. This is the most surreal interval I've been a part of.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this is just like me being in India has like heightened my senses or something. But normally in India, the interval comes up, everyone just gets up. There's a lot of noise, shouting. People start talking about the movie.
Here, people were playing statue.
It was literally silence. Like, silence in terms of sound, silence in terms of movement. Like, no one got up. Like, the three of us went to go get a snack. And we're just looking around like, are we doing something wrong? Like, is the movie still happening? Like, have we... Yeah. So, that was strange. Mm. Trailer I saw recently was for 102 Not Out. Rishi Kapoor and Amitabh Bachchan back on screen together after many, many years. I couldn't gather much from it except one of Amitabh, I think, is 102. Mm. From what I could gather, Amitabh plays Rishi Kapoor's dad.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting.
Big B.
Yeah.
Big Bop.
Big Bop. So that looks interesting.
Looking forward to that, though. Let me go watch the trailer.
Then there is Hate Story 4.
Oh, yes.
From the makers of Hate Story 3 and Hate Story 2, but not Hate Story 1. That is my favorite part of the trailer. It's like, from the makers of Hate Story 2, Hate Story 3. Like, what about 1? Like, someone else made that. So you go deal with it.
If you like 1, don't watch it.
So, apart from that, it was like, it just felt like a compilation of the previous two Hate Stories. Just, you know, lots of boobs, lots of...
What's to hate?
Yeah. I couldn't find a story there, but yeah. There's that. A bunch of movies came and went, which didn't make much of an impression, so we won't really talk much about them. Hitchkey is another movie that's coming up, which although we did talk about it in the last podcast.
Hitchkey is the one with Rani Mukherjee.
Yes.
So I saw a poster of the movie outside the theater today and I asked Pish, what is Hitchkey? And he said it's a movie with Rani Mukherjee. Which I could see from the poster.
Yes. Anyway, so there's that. Ayari is out already? I think it's out already by now. Ayari was the big loser in all of this confusion over release dates with Padmavat and Padman. Mm. But that movie actually looks interesting. Hope to see it at some point. Will not make any promises to you guys about whether there will be a podcast on it or not. Most likely you'll be here back in a month's time where I'll update you on whether it was good or not.
One other thing that's been trending online is the wink.
The wink?
The wink from the...
Oh, yeah.
Who is that and which movie is that from?
It's from a Malayalam movie. The girl's name is Priya Warrior. Mm. And I have zero idea why that wink has gotten so viral. Like, it's just one of those random things. Like, people are bored on the internet. They just find something.
It's a really good wink, though.
It's a very good wink. It's very... Yeah, it's just strange.
Yeah.
Why that happens. Oh, the other thing is, yesterday was Valentine's Day at the time of recording. Love Per Square Foot, which is India's first proper Netflix original, went out. It has Vicky Kaushal and... someone else who I really enjoy watching.
Yeah.
And I can't remember right now. It has Vicky Kaushal, so you should check it out. So that actually looked pretty interesting. It was like a heterosexual version of I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, where they have to pretend that they're married to get a house, because in India, bachelors living people, huh? You know, cannot happen. So I thought it was an interesting premise, looked nice, cool.
I'm looking forward to being back on the movie watching sort of binge again.
Yes, you should do that.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll have more inputs the next time on upcoming releases.
Yes. Hopefully we can have the upcoming release quicker of the podcast. But cool. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And hopefully we will see you very soon. I won't say how soon, but soon.
See you guys.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app, or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.